Our TFC program tonight is called We Are a Church on Mission. And I firmly believe that about River Road Church, if you consider the things that we are a part of. And tonight, Tim Merritt, who is the chairperson of our Board of Missions, and a few others that are on the board, will speak to some of the things that we have been doing over this year. Even though we're not here gathered, there are a lot of things that have still been happening. And we'll also speak some hopeful words about what might be to come should things continue on as they are and continue to improve. We have a lot to look forward to. But before we begin our program, I will say we have two young folks at our meeting tonight, which we are very glad to have. Welcome to the Merritt Boys. And David has a special guest with him, Charles Breckenridge, his dad. And so that is a treat for us to have you with us. We're glad. I have asked our pastor, Daniel Glaze, if he will, to open us in a word of prayer. And then, Tim, you can take it away.
Good evening, everyone. Let's pray together. God, we are grateful for this day that you have given us, for the rain which has nourished the earth. We thank you for your goodness and grace and your leading throughout this day. We are grateful also, God, for the time before us. We pray for Tim and for the ways in which he leads us well to discover and fulfill the mission that you have given us. We pray already for this time that we have before us. We pray that you might always seek to inspire within us ways in which we can serve our community and this world with the love you have given us. As we seek to be light and hope for a community in need. Bless and lead our time together, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay. So, first, thanks for having me. Hopefully I can be informative and sort of bring you up to speed on sort of what we've been doing with the missions committee and what we're sort of planning to do for the upcoming year. But before we do that, I don't necessarily know all of you, and I'm most of you, but I want to do a quick introduction. So you see some pictures here of my lovely family and just some quick facts about me. So I'm married to Katie Chandler Merritt, who is on there with my two sons. And many of you have probably known Katie longer than I have, as she grew up in the church. And I know a lot of you have been going to the church for a long time. So she grew up in the church with her parents, Ted and Laura Lee, who Laura Lee is on our board, and both are still very active members in our church. I have two sons, Owen and Oliver, as you saw in the Zoom there. Owen is about to turn 7 and Oliver is 4. I've been attending River Road since 2006. So I started attending River Road right when I met Katie. I didn't really have a permanent church in Richmond. I'd been living here for a few years and met Katie, and Katie told me she was a Baptist, which scared me a little bit coming from the north and not really knowing what a Baptist was. But after I attended a few services, certainly realized what River Road was all about and definitely realized it was for me. So I've been going ever since. And I've been on the Board of Missions for 6 years and have really enjoyed my time. This will be my last year for a moment, as you have to roll off for a year. So have definitely looked forward to that, or had a good time doing that rather. I was born and raised in Portland, Maine. You can see I have the Patriots hat on there. So I'm still a very avid New England sports fan, and I tend to try and get back there maybe once a year in normal times. So just kind of that's sort of my roots. And I'm also an avid golfer. And then I guess one pack that I didn't put down there, you can see I'm also a dog lover. We have two dogs, our little puppy Penny there. She is now, I guess she's 6 or 7 months old now, 6 months old probably. And we have an older dog, Annie, so also a dog. All right, enough about me. So the first thing we wanted to do was talk about how we had to adapt to a new world. You know, as I sort of came on to the committee, we'd obviously been meeting for a year, sort of via Zoom, and, you know, just talked about some ways that we could sort of streamline what we were doing and make the online and virtual experience a little bit easier than it had been in terms of sending around emails and printing out documents and things like that. So one of the first things we did was we actually took all of our documents and moved them to active links online. So what that means is when our committee meets, instead of getting an email with a bunch of attachments and having to download them and keep track of them and things like that, our board actually just gets a report from me and it has a link and you can see all the links on here. And simply the board members come in and click the agenda link or the budget link or the meeting minutes or the schedule, and they sort of use that to keep track. And so I think people have found that easy. I think it certainly streamlines things and makes it easier to update, easier to keep things up to date, and I think makes the experience a little easier. So hopefully people have found that to be the case. I know I certainly have as the chair and the one putting all the documents together. All right, so it has been hard. 2020, 2021 has been hard, right? But I do love Charlie Brown. And so I use the cartoon, right? We're never gonna give up. And so I think that's sort of a good mantra of missions in the last 2 years. We have certainly, despite all of the odds and all of the hurdles, we have been, I would say, at least as active, if not more active than we've ever been in the church. It's certainly been active in different activities, but I think certainly given the circumstances that we're in the world right now is a very important, if not the most important time that we've ever had to help our community, because there's so much need and this pandemic has created so much need, and we're just able and blessed to be able to address some of that. And so first, as we get into the missions we're going to talk about, I did want to talk about a few did you knows or sort of fast facts, as I sort of found these really interesting and eye-opening, certainly when I joined the board for some of these. So did you know that in 2020, the Board of Missions facilitated the distribution of over $200,000 of church funds to our local community and communities all over the world? So it's a significant part of the church budget. And, you know, with that much money, we're able to do a lot of good in a lot of different places. As I say, a lot of different places. These funds were dispersed over 30 individual missions organizations. Also, in 2020, the Board of Missions contributed $40,000 to the Fellowship Fund. And some of that, a lot of that was through consolidating, we weren't spending as much money on other missions because we couldn't because of the world. So we were able to consolidate a lot of that and really put it into some use. As I'm sure a lot of you have heard, the Fellowship Fund, of course, had a record year in 2020. So it was very nice that we were able to take that money and reallocate it in order to help that. And we are working on some plans to bring back some missions in 2021. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. And we're very excited about that. And then, of course, none of this would be possible without generous support of the fellow River Road members. So we're always have that foremost in our mind and are very appreciative of everyone's help to allow us to do that. And so with that, I am actually going to pass it over. The first mission we're going to talk about is the Caritas project we did. And Lori Gray led that. So I'm going to pass it to Lori and let her talk about that project.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, Caritas has been part of our missions for several decades for River Road Church. What we did differently this year is, this past year, is the Caritas Center finally opened. And there are two new aspects that came online due to the Caritas Center. And that's the Healing Place for Women. It's the only one in the state of Virginia that is a long-term program just for women to become sober. And that rolls into the Caritas Recovery Residences, which are 47 sober living apartments that they have in the Caritas Center. The concept is, as the women go through the Healing Place program and move into sobriety, then they can also move into these sober living apartments. It's not forever. It's designed to be for like a year at most, to help get them on their feet, help get them to stay sober, save money. It's, I think, about around $120 a week for them to stay in these apartments. So we decided that we were going to adopt and sponsor one of the apartments, number 1508. And what that meant is we then had a really nice list of items that was provided through Amazon And any church member could go on, or anybody really, and order them. They all came to my house, and my family and I, due to COVID, put everything up in the apartment. And then an hour later, another team came through from River Road to unpack it and make it look homey. So then when these apartments, this particular apartment is one that we will kind of continue to just support and nurture. It doesn't mean that we have to go in and paint or anything like that. But it allowed for us to fill it with the bedding that they need and the plates and the pots and the pans, the things that that many people going through recovery with nothing but the clothes on their back wouldn't have at the time. And it was, I think, a lot of people felt touched by this program because they got to do something, got to buy something, got to see it in action. And we look forward to continuing the partnership with Caritas in this manner.
So one of the things that I thought was so cool about this, as Lori said, we got the list from Caritas that we put on Amazon. And I mean, Lori, we went well above and beyond the list. Like, we filled up the list pretty instantly, didn't we? And then we went above and people just started picking other things. And
yes. And then I think there was over $300 in just money people sent that we then supplied for them to fill out the rest of the bedding and the needs. So yes, I think within a few weeks, the list was completely purchased. It went quickly.
Yeah. And so, you know, I just think that speaks volumes about our church and the way that we do things, that we fill that so quick. So, you know, I know and from what I saw, Caritas absolutely appreciated that. And do you want to talk a little bit about the mission we're trying to get off the ground now with the the new kits?
Yeah, we have a new contact person, and she's trying to get comfortable, I think, with her role at Caritas. Her name's Quaylena Jones. She likes to be called Q. And what they're working towards now, a lot of the women that are going to come into this new healing place, again, have nothing but the clothes on their back. So they're looking to put together what they call comfy kits. So it's basically scrubs and underwear and toothbrush, you know, the basics. So I'm waiting to connect with her so we can perhaps put together 50 of these kits with our members then they'll just have them, you know, available as these women come through of different, you know, they need to do it by size, you know, small, medium, large sort of deal. So the comfy kits, plus they have other things called exit kits when they do leave the program. So they're working on different things to just kind of help bridge all the little things that we take for granted, you know, when you're all of a sudden find yourself without a toothbrush, you know, that's not a big deal for us. That's a much bigger deal for somebody who's out trying to come off the streets. So there's lots of little smaller missions where I think we can plug in a bigger way. And we'll be revisiting doing our bridge weeks that we've done in the past. And there's lots of other opportunities where we can go in a better COVID situation and actually do group activities with the residents there.
And can you speak, because I think some people may not be exactly aware of sort of what we did with bridge weeks last year, and maybe talk about what that's going to look like this year, because I think that's a question some people have.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought you were wanting to do future stuff at the end.
I want to cover all the Caritas stuff now, so yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, so the Bridge Weeks are where they ask the community to step in and provide dinner for the people in the healing places, which tend to be, I think, 150 for the women and 200, close to 200 for the men right now. And it's just a commitment of going in and providing kind of a home dinner for one night. And then we fulfill lunches for the people who are only in the emergency shelter. So Caritas has all these levels. There's emergency shelter where they need a place to stay. They might not be sober, but they want to be safe. And they do in the men's and the women's, about 35 to 40 of those people can stay each night. So those would be the lunches that we fill for a week. So we're just kind of bridging it right there. Where the healing place is a longer term recovery, And those numbers vary based off of whether or not the people are fulfilling their commitments, and they progress through, hopefully eventually, into a sober living apartment. And that's where we're doing the large dinners for one night to kind of give the Caritas kitchen staff a bit of a break and give kind of a different feel and be able to connect. And within those bridge weeks, they're also hoping that we would come on site and do an activity with the, either if we have the men that week or the women. And that's what those weeks will continue to evolve into. We usually take 2 a year, and we're looking to, they just put the signups on, so we'll probably do one in the fall. And we're just doing a dinner for the men's healing place in April because they weren't quite set up to do the lunches yet.
And, you know, I personally think that's wonderful. I know having a young kids, my old, particularly my older son, was old enough to be able to kind of recognize a little bit of what he was doing and ask a lot of good questions and stuff. So I look forward to being able to do those events again where we can get the kids involved, really, because it makes for a good, so we're very excited for that. So the next mission that we wanted to talk about were the first Sunday food shares. And, you know, I think these have taken a multitude of looks over the pandemic. You know, certainly it's gone everything from your typical Sundays where you drive by and drop off food for the food pantries. And it's not really just been food, right? So it's also been, we did a collection for the Doorways Ministry at VCU, and we've done some other various collections. But I think, you know, if you look there, you can see all the food that we've collected. And it's really been a lot. You know, I asked Bonnie if we don't really quantify the amount, but I know it's been at least as much, if not more, that we've collected in the past. And so I know the food pantries are certainly very appreciative of that. I know from what we've heard in our meetings, like everything else, right, the demand at the food pantries has been outstanding is the wrong word. It's been astronomical is maybe the right word. But the demand at the food pantries has gone up significantly with all of the issues that are going on. And so I know that now more than ever, they really need the support of the food that we provide. And so I know they're very appreciative. And like I said, we've done a really good job, you know, in collections. And I think we did some fun things throughout the year too. I know there's some photos and what I went through. We even did things, there was one of them, I think it was Scott Leak, that there you go right there. You can see Deb Gray holding the bowl. So they had watermelon on sticks, right? So it's a little bit of a, maybe as much of a social activity as you can have during a pandemic. But I know one of the things that I appreciate in doing the food shares is just getting to go by church, even if it's for 5 minutes, and seeing a familiar face, you know, even if it's through a car window, but just little touches like that just sort of help break the monotony of being in your house and getting out for a drive and feeling like you're doing something. So that's been something that's, you know, really gone well. And we will definitely continue to do as we go out through the year and hopefully get to a spot where we can be bringing them to church on a regular Sunday, but definitely something we'll keep doing as it's been successful and certainly very needed, again, given the times that we've been going through. Okay, the next update, and I'm actually going to do this because Susan, who is on here, I saw her, was kind enough to give me a nice letter about what we've done with Oak Grove, and I actually wanted to read it because I think it's got a lot of great details. But before I read the letter, I just kind of want to point out, you really see two kind of pictures here. The picture in the top left and the bottom right are pictures from the actual school and events that they've done at the school. A lot of these events, as you can see, are around attendance. So one of the things that they focus on with the kids is really incentivizing them to attend school, because I think that's sort of a struggle sometimes. This is obviously a struggle everywhere, but I think particularly in schools like Oak Grove, it's just hard to keep the kids motivated and attending. And you can see this is during the pandemic, as you can see face masks on people in these photos. So you see those. And then in the bottom left and the top right is actually collections that we did for Oak Grove. So, you know, I thought it was cool to see that really the donations that we make go straight to the school and get into the kids' hands and really have an impact. So I thought that was kind of a cool way to look at that. But just a little bit of an update. So Susan says, The mission of MICA Initiative is to support and enrich the students, teachers, and communities of Richmond Public Schools. Richmond Public School students have been learning virtually since March 2020, but our church has been hands-on in our support of MICA School, Oak Grove, its students, teachers, parents, and the school community. Here's what our support has looked like so far during 2020-2021 school year. We filled 10 bags with Thanksgiving food and $10 Walmart gift cards. These were distributed to families in the community. We purchased 104 individual student whiteboards with dry erase markers and erasers for third grade students. This donation was in response to an urgent request from third grade teachers. We provided snacks, pizza, pumpkins, and paints for children who attended a Saturday outdoor club in October and November. Bob Argenbright, a MICA volunteer and Trinity United Methodist Church, organized the club with the help of other volunteers, engaged students, and activities for which the beautiful nearby Bellmead Park was the textbook. Just before Christmas, the Friendship class, along with an individual church family, purchased mattresses for four siblings who needed beds. Our Board of Missions made a $2,000 gift to Oak Grove to be used for needs stemming from the pandemic. James Gordon, the school's principal, created a program of incentives and awards to encourage students' engagement in the area of academics, attendance, and attitude. He included parents in his Mr. Gordon's Favorite Things giveaway of necessities, paper towels, cleaning products, foods, etc. The board donation made much of this possible. At the beginning of 2021, volunteers wrote messages on 100 birthday cards, which were sent to Oak Grove students celebrating birthdays in February and March. We have sent $500 to continue support and encourage programs. Coming in May, we will work with three other MICA groups serving Oak Grove to put together gift bags for teachers during Teacher Appreciation Week. They will be invited to drive around the bus loop to receive their bags. Finally, in June, our four groups will fill gift bags for the 87 fifth graders who will be moving on to middle school. A mix of necessities, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, socks, combs, brushes, and fun things, glow sticks, bubbles, crayons, will hopefully delight these students. MICA has an Amazon wish list for anyone interested in helping with this. Even in these trying times, RRCB has found many ways to provide support and enrichment for our MICA students, teachers, and families. So I think that's great. I think it's incredible. Just again, when you can sort of see our donations in action and sort of feel like what we're doing has a tangible effect in the community that you can actually see. So, I think this is great. I think Susan does a great job managing it. Susan, you're out there. Anything you'd want to add to this?
No, I appreciate your reading that. The only thing I would add is that we're certainly hoping in September that we can be back in the building, working in classrooms, tutoring, whatever comes up. I know for sure there will be two of us who want to do that, and anybody else who feels that they'd like to be a part of that mission in the actual school is certainly welcome, more than welcome to try it and see how you like it. I think you will.
Excellent.
Thanks, Tim.
Absolutely. So next, I'm going to talk about something that is returning in fall of 2021. So as of right now, we are on the calendar to do Rise Against Hunger on October 16th. And they are very excited to have us, and we are very excited to certainly be back with them. They have gone through some turbulence, I guess, if you will, with the pandemic, but they were very grateful when we reached out to set up an event, and we are actually getting ready to donate about $5,000 to them. We actually have extra money budgeted this year due to the fact that we always budget for two events. And sort of the most meals you could possibly do in one event only allows you to spend about half of our budget. So we're actually going to donate the other half of our budget. They're having a mission actually in Nigeria to help Nigeria with some hunger issues. So they sent me some information on that. And we're actually going to donate the rest of our budget to that. So, yeah, so what I said was it's a great intergenerational event. And if you've never done it, It is wonderful. So again, they are still functioning and excited to have us. And I am hopeful that we'll be able to pull this off. But, you know, just like a lot of other missions in 2021, we were very fortunate to have the financial means. So we actually did make a donation of our entire budget of the year. So we still supported the organization financially, even though we weren't able to certainly do the meals. But again, the hope is that we can do that in 2021. So we are very excited for that, certainly. Okay, and so next, I'm gonna pass it to my friends, Bill and Mary Iva, to talk to us about Camp Alkalana.
Okay, I'll talk a little first and then Bill will take over. Camp Alkalana has been near and dear to the hearts of River Rotas for many years. We have contributed both financially and through the work program, and you'll hear a lot more about that from Bill Rush in just a few minutes. But we have frequently gone up for cleanup, and that's what he'll talk about. The camp is located in Millboro Springs, Virginia, and it was begun in 1917. It was initially catering only to the lower income families in the Richmond area, but it has expanded recently into the surrounding areas, so there are more students available. It's for youth and children. It's two age groups. Even though it's very rustic in nature, it gives the children and the youth an opportunity to get out of the city and to explore nature, and gives them a chance to escape the real world problems that they deal with on a daily basis. And it helps them make new discoveries about themselves and about the wonderful landscape that they are experiencing at the time. And they are just having the best time, as you can see from the pictures, and you'll see more. Needless to say, it was not quite the same. Camp was not quite the same as nothing else was the last summer, but everything is lined up now to go full steam ahead for this summer. They already have their camp dates. The older boys will be there the end of June, then the younger boys will follow them, and then they will be followed by the older girls session, which is July the 17th through the 24th, and then the younger boys. So they've got it all scheduled and are planning to get back to the normal activity, which is a blessing. Needless to say, these pictures can say a whole lot more than words can say, and Bill has some more of those to share with you too. Bill?
So Mary Ava mentioned that we generally take volunteers up to camp to help get it ready to go. And typically the trip would look sort of like this Zoom meeting, like two dozen people with the church bus and the truck, and we stop and eat at Rouse and we have a big time, and you know, we do a little work while we're up there. Actually, with that many people, we get a lot done, but we really can't do that with COVID. Even though it's looking better, we still have to break it into smaller pieces. So we basically picked three Saturdays. And instead of taking 24 people in one trip, the idea is to take three trips with eight people and do more targeted work and in certain areas of camp. So Beth would give us just one place to work in camp so we could be apart from any other group that might be there that day. So we picked dates, April 10th, May 15th, and June 12th. I've been in touch with Cassandra. She's probably going to have the sign-up Genius software ready to go tomorrow for that. And camp is looking good. We took the opportunity to look at some of the areas in camp and really try to improve them while it was empty. The biggest one that's all torn up right now is the shower and laundry room. We totally are redoing the electrical and plumbing for that room and built all new shower stalls. It's really looking good. I was up there this past Saturday pulling wire. we are looking good. Also, we're going to, right after we get the shower room fixed back up, we're going to look at the cabin row. Cabin row needs some help the original six cabins up on the hill that a lot of y'all have seen already, because I'm looking at you, and most of you have been, maybe. So that's about what I have.
All right. So the next thing that we wanted to talk about was sort of, you know, what's ongoing, what's on tap for the rest of 2021, and then as well as sort of maybe touched on what's sort of been on hold a little bit. So things that are going on. So Crossover Ministries, Judy Collins is still going to Crossover. And so we do have that as an active mission that's going on. We do have our Easter offering coming up with CBF. So that we're actually in that period now. And I think there's actually a little break over Easter, but that'll be continuing on through the end of April. We do have Caritas. And so we heard Lori mention the Bridge Week. And so Lori, is April 30th the right date for that? It is, right? Yeah, she's shaking her head. So we have that coming up. And certainly if you're interested participating in that, there'll be a sign up on the church website for that. As Bill mentioned, there are the cleanup days. And Bill, did I see there might be a date change in an email late this afternoon to one of those?
There is.
Yes, we changed the May 8th date to May 15th.
Okay, I'll update this. I saw that come through like late, I thought.
Yeah, that was like just today.
But that is coming up if you're interested in sort of going out to see that. Meals on Wheels, and Mary Iva, I know you're involved in that. Maybe, I guess, I know you guys have been doing some porch deliveries. So how tell us a little bit about that. How often is that going on?
Well, we are involved. There are other people in the church. I'm not totally aware of everybody, but our class has been very involved with this for 5 or 6 years now with the deliveries. And as everything else, we had to change the method of delivery because people did not want to go in houses and so forth. But they have accommodated everything by preparing a week of food at a time, and it's put in a container and left on the porch, so there is no contact in that. And we haven't been using all of our teams because they've only been delivering on Fridays now. And we're all just waiting to see when it is that we might get back to normal, but we've been involved and find it our efforts are very much appreciated as well as very much needed with getting food to these homes. So it's been a very rewarding experience for those involved.
I'm sure like many other food ministries, the demand for that has just been historical.
But I think that's been accommodated. People have been generous. River Road as well, who gave extra money for this project, but knowing the need. And other people have done the same, so it's worked out very well.
Yeah. Okay, some other things coming up to look forward to. So, as I mentioned, Rise Against Hunger is back. October 16th, 2021 is the plan right now. And we talked about that's the intergenerational meal packing event, which is always a great time. And I got confirmation of this one this afternoon. As of right now, they are on the books to go out to Bland County for the Lloyd Jackson ministry. And that is typically construction projects. Steve Lowry leads that. And again, Steve confirmed for me this afternoon that as of 4 o'clock this afternoon, given if things were to stay the same or, you know, get better through September, they are planning to do that. And so that's, you know, another exciting thing to look forward to. I think many of you have been on that before, so know what that's all about. We certainly have some other offering seasons. We have Alma Hunt offering coming up in September. And as I mentioned, avid golfer, personal favorite of mine, we have our, and I think it's a super impressive 16th annual Camp Alcalana Golf Tournament. So very excited about, I think
by
it's
the
amazing.
By the way, Tim, the River Road has a really big showing in that, right, Bill?
Basically two-thirds of the tournament are River Roaders.
Yeah, it's actually, I'll take a minute and tell a quick golf story, which I love to tell. The last time I played in this tournament, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, Ted and Laura Lee Chandler, had sponsored the 18th hole at Belmont. So if you know the 18th hole at Belmont, it is a par three. And so when I got to the tee on the par three, my son's photograph was there on the tee because they had sponsored the hole. And of course, the tournament photographer was there. And so I said to him, wouldn't it be perfect if I got a hole in one on the tournament where you're standing here taking my photo, my son's picture is on the tee. And I'll tell you what, I hit my tee shot and it smashed into the bottom of the pin and stopped an eighth of an inch. I mean, it was a dimple away from going in the hole. And the photographer was just like, man, that would have been amazing. I mean, I was so close to doing it.
You should have blown.
Yeah, I mean, it was that close. You could have pushed the earth down and it would have gone in. I mean, when it smashed the pin, I thought it was going to go in and then it sort of lipped out. But it's a great event and I've always enjoyed doing that. All right, so we have some Thanksgiving offerings coming up and Thanksgiving food boxes to support food ministries through Thanksgiving. And then our traditional Christmas store coming up in December. So a lot of things going on and a lot of things to certainly look forward to. Of course, with the things to look forward to, there are also things that we have put on pause. Doesn't mean forever, but for right now, they are on pause. So we did want to sort of touch on those as they're still important, right? So Nicholsville, and that is the trip that's led by Laura Lee and Diane. But as of this moment, that is sort of put on pause as they kind of figure out what that's going to look like in a sort of pandemic environment. The Renew crew, the ramp installation as of right now, is on pause. I know George has talked about doing some this year, but I have not heard any updates. So as of last, I knew that was on pause. Also, the sewing circle. I know many of you have participated in the sewing circle at Crossover, where we have members, you know, assist and teach and help with projects relating to sewing, knitting, quilting, crocheting, and that is on pause, but I know they're looking to get at that, and I think they've actually been doing some sort of projects there, even in the interim. So it may not be on full pause, but it certainly was not what it was before the pandemic. Then we have our prison ministry, which you know, we'll come back afterwards, but that's sort of led by Christy and Norma, and that's also been on pause, as well as our annual trip to Panama. Again, we did not do that in 2020, given the circumstances. But again, hopefully to come back soon. So finally, you know, obviously a big thank you. With you, you know, with your support, we'll continue to be a church on mission. We certainly couldn't do it without all the support, and appreciate the financial support and the prayers and the volunteering and everything everyone does to help us be as successful as we are as a missions board for the church. I guess I would also say we're also always open to suggestions. So if you have, you know, missions ideas or things that you think could be good for us to get involved in, you could certainly bring them to any member of the board and we'll take them up as a board and kind of see what it is. But certainly we're always open to suggestions about that kind of thing too.
Appreciate all the input and others of you who've participated in sharing this evening. One thing I would point out as well is the $200,000 that Tim mentioned at the beginning that the mission board was able to share last year does not include special offerings that we take up. So while, you know, while we're indicating that we value missions to the tune of $200,000, it's actually considerably more than that when you add in the gifts that are given to Fellowship Fund, the gifts that are given specifically to Camp Oculana and to Global Missions and the Alma Hunt offering. If we put all of that together, it's a good bit more sizable than the $200,000 even. It would make you very proud to know that you're part of a church that is so generous and sharing. We have accomplished a lot and we have a lot more to accomplish in the future. And I trust that folks will continue to support all of the different ministries. That it was apparent in conversation that from Tim and from Laurie, at least, when we put out a request that it is quickly, there's a quick response from River Road folks. And that is because they are so generous and willing to share and serve. And we're really grateful for that.
I would just, you know, thank you for that, Anna. I was just going to say that the missions board feels extremely lucky to have somebody like your husband, Dean, certainly on the board, who, you know, essentially does missions for a living. So he's been a treasure and certainly helped lead us in directions we might not otherwise have gone. And so Dean's helping us with some stuff. And I think I feel very lucky to have that for sure.
Have any additional comments or questions before we close with a prayer?
Anna, I have a question, but it's not exactly missions, but it is. I'd like to hear a little bit more, but had Daniel mentioned it in the bulletin about the giving for the fellowship fund in place of lilies. Can somebody, I mean, I saw it that one place. Are we going to get any other e-blast or anything about that? I thought it was such an excellent idea.
I am not certain about eBlast, but I know it will be promoted again this Sunday. It is an opportunity to give a virtual lily. There will be a very limited number in the sanctuary because of where we are with things right now. But folks are invited to share those, and the money that they offer for that virtual lily. The recognition will be printed for whoever they would like to honor or remember, but the money will go towards our fellowship fund to support.
Yeah, and if I can add to that, great question, Mariava, and you can file this under ideas that I had late in the day, and we did, you know, get to do all the communication. More communication will come out, but I was just thinking. You know, we're still having limited people in worship. I just thought we don't need 300 Easter lilies this year, you know, that are going to sit in the sanctuary for just a little bit, and the camera's not even going to catch them for most of the folks watching on video. And so I thought we'll still have a couple lilies, but what if folks would still give any amount, and they can have a virtual lily? We'll put their name in the bulletin, as Anna said, and rather than buy lilies that we would look at for a couple hours on a Sunday morning, we'll put that toward the fellowship fund, toward folks in need. And so it was sort of an idea I had late, and we sort of scrambled to get it together, but it was just trying to be good stewards of our resources, and also trying to support the folks in our community with such great need. Hope that gives a little more information on it.
Thank you.
Anna, before you pray, Bert and I, can we give a little plug for April 7th while we've got this wonderful audience to shamelessly, while we have such a good church turnout, Bert and I and also Jean Cobble are doing a program on April 7th, kind of a pre-Earth Day program based on some of our Master Gardener, Master Naturalist experience basically about how we can all do a small part to help improve our ecosystems and save our native plant life and wildlife and so forth. And we're pretty excited about it. So if you guys would share with people just that what that is about, and hopefully some of you can join us for that. I'm working on a PowerPoint, so I want somebody to see it.
Look forward.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rose. Absolutely. Hope we'll have a good group there. Thank you all so much for those of you who've been here tonight. I know you've been blessed by the program, and thank you, Tim, for all that you put into it, and those who shared for the preparation that you did. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for all the things that we've been able to be a part of, even when we haven't known it. And we are grateful to know that we will be part of your continuing mission in this world. May the things that we share, the work that we do, be a representation of your love and make a difference in this world for you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.